Well, our passage this week, as you saw, was all about our controversy. Is that how we say it? Or controversy between Jesus and the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees and the scribes. And it's almost as if the Lord is intent on challenging the whole approach of the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders to what the Sabbath was all about, this special day. It's almost as if the true principle and meaning behind the Sabbath had been submerged beneath all this sort of rules and regulations of what you could and couldn't do. Almost it covered over what it was all about. And it's almost as if Jesus is lifting up the Sabbath to what it was intended to be. Not a day of burden and troublesome and worrying about, should I do this or can I do that, or can I not do that? But a day of joy and blessing, as we're going to see. So what I wanted us to do was to just look at a few questions about this story. And the first one was, well, what was the Sabbath? Some of you may be familiar with it, some not. But we spoke to the children a little earlier, and I mentioned that the Sabbath was a special day for the Jewish people. And it seems that the word Sabbath comes from the verb meaning to stop. And God gave a commandment, if you remember, in the Ten Commandments, that useful summary of how we should live, how we should deal with God and our relationship with him. And the fourth commandment was to remember the Sabbath day. It was to be the seventh day of the week. So it would be equivalent to our Saturday. And because God gave them this instruction that the Sabbath day was to be special, it became a very important day in Jewish life. So that's what the Sabbath was. It was the seventh day of the week, our Saturday. The second question I thought of was, well, what was the Sabbath for? What was its intention? Well, we've got to go back to the Ten Commandments, and I'll read to you from Exodus chapter 20, and it tells us this. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, neither you, your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So this was a God-given instruction. In fact, later we find that God says this Sabbath keeping is a special sign of the covenant, the old covenant, between God and his people. What was the Sabbath for? Well, the first thing it was for was to follow God's example, the Creator God. We've been reading Genesis, how God made the world. He made it in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. He made it a special day, a different day, a day from the others. And so in keeping the Sabbath, they were remembering that this was to be a special and different day and following God's example as the great creator. The second thing we read of was that the Sabbath was to be a day of rest from work. Do no work. Now I was thinking about this and I was thinking, well, it's perhaps a bit like the game of basketball. I don't know if you've ever seen it on the TV. It's big in America, isn't it? Not so big in the UK. But in basketball, the coach of one of the teams is able to call what they call a timeout. So the game stops. And the team get together. They can have a break. The coach can tell them what he wants them to do. They can listen to him. And after a few minutes or so, the game restarts. The Sabbath, it seemed to me, was to be for people a time out. Stop your normal everyday things that you do, make it a different day. Have a time out. So it was to be a day of example, it was to be a day of rest, but it was to be a day of refreshment too. I like the words that comes in Genesis chapter 23. And we see that, in fact, the Sabbath idea of the seventh day was also extended into the seventh year. And there was to be a rest on the seventh year, a special rest for the land. I'll read it to you from Exodus 23. For 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops, but during the seventh year let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and wild animals may eat what is left. Do the same with your vineyards and your olive grove. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. So there's to be this idea of a refreshment, to have a break. In the seventh year, the land was to lie fallow. And of course, that's what modern farming does, isn't it? It doesn't farm the fields all the time with the same crops. It doesn't work. They have a rotation and they have a break. They allow the soil to recover. And in the Sabbath day, every seventh day, there was to be a time of refreshment, a rest, a break, a time out, a time to refresh, to get yourself relaxed, ready to face what a new week will bring. In Deuteronomy, where the Sabbath is explained, it's explained as a reminder that they were slaves in Egypt, but God brought them out. Now, when I think of a slave, I don't think of a slave having a day of rest. They're working all day, every day, I'm sure. But the Sabbath was to be a reminder to them, a day of refreshment, that they're not slaves anymore. They're free by the grace of God. So it was for people to have a rest, to have a relax, to have a different, to have a time out from their normal daily lives. But I also read from Exodus 20, it was to be a Sabbath to the Lord. There was to be this Godward aspect to the day. It was a time for them to turn their hearts and minds, when they have the time, to the Lord God. To think of him, to worship him, to pray to him, to remember that he is involved in their everyday lives. And so as I look at the Sabbath, I don't see it as something that God put in just so he would have more worship on one day a week. Rather, in his mercy, in his kindness and compassion, he instituted this special day for the good of his people. And so the Sabbath is to be a holy day, a special day, a different sort of day where God is involved at some stage. Now, you'll agree with me, all that sounds marvelous. So what went wrong with the Sabbath by the time Jesus was here? Well, one of the problems, I guess, is you're not to do any work. What counts as work that you're not allowed to do? Could you make a fire? No, Exodus says you couldn't make a fire. Could you collect sticks? No, somebody was caught collecting sticks on the Sabbath and he was severely punished. Could you open your shop and sell things? No, you couldn't. But when you get a bit deeper, you say, well, what is work? Am I allowed to, is it something to do with the physical effort I make to do things? Does that count as work? And it got all very complicated. And people in the Jewish, to give them some credit, they said, well, we must start to think about what work is. We must draw some rules up. And then there was rules about the rules, and you know, people got added to and got added to, so that eventually the Sabbath was just a burden of keeping rules. People had lost sight of what it originally was for. And that seems to be what happened in Jesus' day. We have a specific incident in this story, didn't we, that we read from Luke in chapter 6 as we're going through our studies in Luke. The disciples were hungry. They go past a cornfield. They pluck the ears off some of the corn. They rub it in their hands to get rid of the husky bits they don't want. They're left with the grain on the inside. They eat the grain. And the scribes and the Pharisees come to the disciples and says, wait, you lot, why are you doing what's not allowed, unlawful on the Sabbath? Now, it wasn't legally unlawful. It was unlawful according to their rules. They were breaking the rules that they had established. What rules were they breaking? Well, it wasn't stealing. The disciples were allowed, and it says in the Old Testament law, that people were allowed to go alongside a cornfield, take, as they did, a few of the husks, and satisfy their hunger that way. That was allowed. It wasn't stealing. What was not allowed, according to the scribes and Pharisees, was, well, what you're doing when you're plucking that little bit of corn out, you're reaping. That's not allowed. And when you rub it and you get rid of the husky bits, you're winnowing. That's not allowed either. And when you're eating the food, that's not allowed either. Not allowed to prepare food on the Sabbath. So three or four different ways they thought they're breaking their law just by picking up some corn from the field. See, even as Christians, we need to be careful, don't we, that we don't add more rules or regulations than is in God's word. This was a problem in the New Testament as we turn to it. People were coming along and saying, yes, it's good to have faith in Jesus. Yes, he died on the cross for us, but you have to become a Jew. You have to keep the Jewish rules to be a real Christian. If you're a man, you've got to be circumcised, for example. That was one of the key touchstone issues. You need to be following the Jewish religion. And Paul spends a lot of time in his letter saying, no, we don't. What we need only is faith in Christ. When we come to Christ in repentance and faith, we are born again, we're made new creatures, we have a relationship with God, and we're fitted for heaven. That's what we need. And if we're not careful, then we add lots of other things to it. And we need to be sure we don't fall into the trap of thinking, I become a Christian by following a set of rules. If I follow the Ten Commandments and do my very, very best, that'll be okay with God. He'll accept me. That's all I need. But that's not right either. We had in some of our verses, for example, that our salvation is not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's according to his mercy he saved us, not by works of righteousness that we do, but according to his mercy he saves us. It's not what we can do for God that counts towards our salvation. It's what God can do for us. He's given us the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. We're going to remember what he did for us in his dying on the cross. He was punished there for us and for our sins so that we can be put right with God when we come and receive him in repentance and faith. Don't get me wrong, keeping the Ten Commandments is good. No problems about that. But if we're doing it just to be right with God, we've missed the point. We're not there yet. I'm saying we should be careful not to add rules that aren't in God's word. There's a balance here, isn't there? The New Testament is full of rules on how we should behave. That doesn't mean we can just say, no, that doesn't apply to us anymore. We don't have any rules. We've got freedom in Christ. We can do whatever we like. That's not how it is. The Bible says we've got a freedom, but we don't have a license to do anything. We want to live lives that are pleasing to God. Our behavior has got to back up our belief. And so the New Testament instructions, the rules that are there for our benefit, for our good, and we should follow them to the best of our ability. When we start to add additional little rules that define what a good Christian is, that's when it can become a bit dangerous. And that's what often happens in sects and other pseudo-Christian gatherings, isn't it? There's somebody who sets the rules. And the rules are all about gaining power over people, you know. And we need to be careful that, you know, we don't fall into that trap. I hope we don't in this church. We encourage good behavior. We don't demand that you do particular things. So that's what seemed to be going wrong with the Sabbath. And Jesus just meets it head on. And he says to them, well, basically he's saying, I'm quite happy with the disciples and what they've done. I don't see a problem with it, says Jesus. In fact, he takes them back to a story that the Pharisees would be very familiar with. One of their heroes, King David, before he was king. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, we have the story. And it perhaps is a little obscure story, but Jesus told it. But David was on the run from King Saul. You remember he was an outlaw for a while. He had escaped very quickly from Saul's plan to get him and to imprison or kill him. They'd left very quickly with a small band of men. They'd run out of food. And so David went to the place where the tabernacle was, where the high priest was, and he said to him, you know, I'm hungry. We haven't had anything to eat. My friends are hungry. Can you give us something? And the high priest said, well, I haven't got anything here, and no food here in the tabernacle. But he said, well, the only food we've got actually are some loaves of bread. And part of the worship of the place where they met was that there was a special table, and on the table were 12 loaves put every week. 12 to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. The bread to represent the great provision of God. And every week, probably on the Sabbath, and I forgot to check, but probably on the Sabbath, the old loaves were taken away, and new fresh loaves were put on there for the next week. And so the high priest said, well, all we've got are these special loaves. But these special loaves are supposed to be eaten by the priests alone. But David said, well, please, will you give me some? And the high priest gave him some of the loaves that were only for the priest to eat. He broke the rules. But he broke them on the basis it was a merciful thing to do. David was God's man in God's situation. He was in desperate need, and it was provided for them. And it's almost as if Jesus is saying, well, look, if it's good enough for the rules to be okay to be broken with David, it's okay to break these rules as well, where there is a need. And there was a need. The disciples weren't just having a snack. They were hungry. I wondered about that. I thought, was it that as the Lord went about, they always, sometimes, didn't have anything to eat for a day? They were relying on others to provide for them. I don't know. They were hungry, and in their mercy, a merciful thing was to take all the corn and to eat it. Pharisees couldn't say much against David. He was their hero. And then Jesus goes a bit further and he says, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, the Son of Man is often the way in which Jesus indirectly referred to himself. So he's saying, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the owner. I'm the master. I'm the one who's in charge of the Sabbath. And the implication is, if he says it's all right, it is all right. The scribes and Pharisees must have been flabbergasted at that. And then we had the second story where Jesus takes on the scribes and Pharisees in the synagogue with a man with a withered hand. And it's the Sabbath day again, and they're all out watching him. Is he going to heal on the Sabbath? You see, they know what Jesus is like. They know that he's merciful and compassionate. But they want to catch him out. Now, Jesus could have waited till the next day. You know, shriveled hand, he'd had it for years, another day wouldn't make any difference. But no, Jesus seems to take on and challenges these scribes and Pharisees to get to the root of the problem as far as he is concerned. An important principle was being set aside. God's instruction of what it was originally intended to be had been subverted into something else. He wanted to put it right. He brings the man out. Now, why does he do that? Must have been embarrassing, mustn't it? If I asked one of you to come up and to stand on the front here, you'd be a bit embarrassed, perhaps. Some of you don't own up to your birthdays because you don't want to come out the front, don't you? Why did Jesus do it? He asked them the question, didn't he? Is it right to do good on the Sabbath or not? Is it right to save life or to destroy it? I think what he was trying to say is, you have the rules and regulations, but isn't an obscure doctrinal university thesis you're dealing with? It's people like this man here. I can do something for him, and you say I should not. I can be merciful to him, but you say I should not. I can do something that saves and completes his life, and you say I should not. And he's telling them, this is not right. And he gives them the opportunity to answer, and they don't, and he heals the man. The Sabbath was intended to do good, to save life, to be a blessing, not a curse. Jesus didn't come to destroy the Old Testament laws. He didn't come to destroy the Sabbath, but it says he came to fulfill it. He wanted to get back to first principles to restore the Sabbath. What about us and the Sabbath? We've said a lot about it to understand the background to the story. It leads on to the opposition of the scribes and the Pharisees to Jesus. From this point on, we read in the story, they were furious, they were angry, They were out to get him from this point onwards. What about us and the Sabbath? Should we be keeping the Sabbath day on a Saturday or not? Well, you might say to me, but, well, it's in the Ten Commandments, and we do the do not steal, and we do not commit adultery, and we do not covet, and all these, so why not the Sabbath? Well, I think there are some good reasons why we don't keep the Sabbath in the same way. Here are some things to bear in mind. As Christians, after Jesus' death and resurrection, we're not under the old covenant, we're under a new covenant. The Old Testament law given through Moses no longer applies directly to us. It's been superseded. However, we can still learn from its principles. So I think that the Sabbath principle is still a good one to apply today, although not the detail. The second thing to remember is that very early in the history of the Christian church, it was the first day of the week that became their special day. Jesus appeared to his disciples on the first day of the week after his resurrection. The disciples met together, the early church met together for their special meetings on the first day of the week. And it's called in Revelation, this first day of the week, the Lord's Day. And so the keeping of the Sabbath as a Jewish rule was superseded by saying, here is something new. And last week we had that Jesus was going to bring new wine into new wineskins. He was going to refresh everything, and he gives us this new way. So that we concentrate now on not the old law, but we concentrate on the Lord Jesus. It's a day, the Lord's Day, a special day. And I can't find anywhere in the New Testament that says we should keep the Sabbath. In fact, in Colossians 2 verse 16, Paul writes, "Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regards to a religious festival or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." My conclusion is, no, we're not bound to keep the Sabbath on a Saturday, nor are we bound by all the rules and regulations that the Mosaic law brought into effect. But I think on balance, we should honor the principle by making sure we have one special, different day from the other six. And the Sunday, the Lord's Day, is a good day for us to do this, but if our circumstances allow. Well, here's my last question. What detailed rules should we keep on the Lord's Day? Do you remember the Chariots of Fire film and the story of Eric Liddell? You remember the issue for him was, would he run the races on a Sunday or not? And do you remember he took his stand and he said, I will not race on a Sunday. That's the Lord's Day. It's a different day. It's a special day. And those of us, some of you older than me, will remember that in the olden days, there was a lot stricter interpretation of what it meant to have the Lord's Day and what you could and couldn't do. And the danger, of course, is we drop back into the Pharisees' way of drafting rules and regulations about what's acceptable or not. But I think we lose a lot if we just treat Sunday as an ordinary day. I think it would be great if we could follow the principle of that Sabbath day, to have a time out day, to have a day of rest and refreshment, to have a day when there is that Godward aspect in our lives, when we have more time to think about him. Do we at home have a special day on the Sunday, on the Lord's Day? Yes, we do, if I'm honest. We try to keep Sunday special. For us, it's a matter of importance that we are in church every week, if we are able to, on the Lord's Day. And we don't let, as it were, the idea of rest and relaxation affect us, you know, having breakfast early and getting up early and coming to church and driving and sitting here and then rushing to get lunch afterwards. The overriding principle of being in church overrides the rest and the relaxation idea. What else do we do? Well, at home, to make Sunday special, We don't usually watch the TV, as a general rule. It's not a hardship, you know. You've got a hard disk. If there's anything we particularly want to see, we can put it on the hard disk and see it another day if we're that bothered about it. You don't miss it after a while. There's nothing much on these days, is there, that you want to watch? What else don't we do? Well, we don't go shopping normally on a Sunday. If we're having a day of rest, so should other people, it seems to me. For the same reason, we don't usually eat out on a Sunday. Why should other people be working so that I can have a day of rest? Perhaps you could switch off your social media for one day. Wow, that would be revolutionary, wouldn't it? Not having your mobile phone on, not looking at Facebook or Twitter or anything like that, making one day special. I'm not saying these are what you have to do. There's a verse in Romans that I'm going to read to you that suggests it's a matter of conscience for each individual Christian to decide. And I'm not going to criticize others who have a different way of doing things on the Sunday. Romans 14 says this. It gives us an instruction not to be too quick to judge others. It says this: one man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. I think what Paul is saying is, as long as we've thought about it, as long as we're clear that what we're doing is not contrary to any of the other rules in the New Testament, then we are free to do what we wish, as long as it's done for the Lord, done in the Lord. And may it be that we can find a way to honor the Lord in our lives. So we've heard about the Sabbath today. We've seen how it fits into the context of Luke's gospel with the challenges and the controversy that it caused for the Lord. How he overruled some of their rules and said it's the mercy, it's the compassion, it's the kindness that counts. And we're to be merciful, said one of the verses we read. We're to have that kindness, compassion, and do good for others when we're able to. And we might think about the good principle of having one day special, one day different, one day that has that Godward aspect, one day when we can come to church and share with other believers. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us.